We're going to be looking now at part of Luke's Gospel, one of the early biographies of Jesus' life. And we're in Luke chapter 14 and verses 15 to 24. If you've got a Bible, it'd be really helpful if you turn there now. If you've got one of these blue church Bibles that I'm using, it's on page 737, just at the bottom of the page, where it says, "The Parable of the Great Banquet." My name's Robin. I was helping out at the holiday club last week. And this is one of the stories we looked at with the kids, so we thought it would be good to look at it with you as well. When John Hardwick, who was running the club, taught this story, he had a cuddly monkey called Charlie to help him. I was very tempted to bring one along today, but I thought better of it. You could be the judge of whether that was a good idea or not. Have we got the passage? Lovely. So page 737 in the blue church Bibles, the parable of the great banquet. I'm just going to pray for us quickly to ask God's help in understanding his message. Father God, thank you that you do speak to us. Please open our hearts and open our minds to understand the message that you have for every one of us this morning. Amen. As we start, I'd like you to think of a time for me when you celebrated something. Think back to a time when you had something to celebrate. I realise for some people that might feel a very long time ago. But do try to think of a time when you were able to celebrate something, when you were surrounded by people you care about, and when, just for a time, you're able to forget about whatever worries you might have had and just enjoy. It could be something small, just, you know, going for a drink with some friends after a long week at work. It could be much bigger than that. But try to think of that time and try to remember how you felt. It's a brilliant feeling, isn't it, to have something to celebrate. And when Jesus is talking about heaven, he compares it to a party. That's what we're going to be seeing in our story today. He compares it to a celebration. The Bible talks a lot about what happens after death. It talks a lot about the future. And it says that one day God is going to recreate the whole world. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth, a whole new universe, really, where everything, all the bad stuff, is got rid of forever, and everything is made perfect. And some people refer to that as heaven. And when Jesus is telling us what that's like, he says, think of a party. Think of the most perfect celebration you've ever been to. That's the sort of thing we've got to be thinking of. And a party is a brilliant word for it. I mean, think about what makes a good party. You need good food, don't you? And that's going to be there in God's new world. This is going to be a physical place. It's not, you know, the standard advertising view of heaven floating on clouds, playing harps, eating Philadelphia. It's much better than that. It's a real place. You need good surroundings for a party, don't you? And that will be there as well. This new world is going to be made perfect. All the death and all the decay in this one will be got rid of. But the most important thing for a good party is good relationships. And again, those will be there. They won't just be good, they'll be perfect. Because God will be there. And we'll know him, and he will know us. And we will love him, and he will love us perfectly. And we will enjoy that relationship forever. Okay, I'm going to take a detour now, because I realise that some people are probably thinking this sounds absolutely mad. Just complete fairy tale stuff. I realise some of the people are probably thinking that there's no way we can know anything about life after death, about heaven, anything like that. We just can't know. We haven't been there. If you're thinking that, can I say I do respect where you're coming from? Could I challenge you to do one thing? To look into the historical man called Jesus Christ. He lived 2,000 years ago, and he made some incredible claims. He claimed to come from heaven. I believe his claims stand up to scrutiny. And if he was who he claims to be, then he's the perfect person to tell us what happens after death and what heaven is like. So if you're sceptical, please don't switch off. Please give this the time it deserves. And look for yourself as a thinking adult into who you think Jesus is. And I'll talk at the end about some ways you can do that. Okay, diversion over. Let's get into the Bible passage. If you look down at the bottom of the page, as I say, it's 737 in this Bible, to verse 15, that's the little number 15, just under where it says, the parable of the great banquet. We're butting in on a conversation Jesus is having where he's talking about this heavenly banquet, this party that God is preparing. And they've been talking for a while and they've agreed about one thing. They've agreed it's going to be amazing. Look down at verse 15. Jesus has been talking about heaven, and then when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." This guy's saying, "That's right, Jesus. God's heaven is going to be fantastic. And the person who gets to go there is very blessed, very lucky indeed." But I get the feeling they don't agree on what sort of person gets to go there, on who gets into heaven. And when you think about it, that's got to be one of the most important questions anyone can ever think about. What sort of person gets into heaven? And maybe more importantly, am I the sort of person that God would let into heaven? And so Jesus tells a story, and it's a story with a message. It's to tell us the answer to that question. What sort of person does God invite into heaven? We're going to have it read for us now by Craig. There he is. And as we're reading it, have this in mind. The man in the story stands for God. The banquet stands for this new world that God is creating. And the different people in the story show us the different ways that people like us can respond to God. And as we read it, we'll see two truths which I hope will change your life. Firstly, everyone is invited to God's banquet. Secondly, some people don't respond and miss out. Everyone's invited, but some people don't respond, and so they miss out. Let's read it now. Thanks.
Jesus said, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thank you. So the story starts in verse 16 with a man. He's clearly a rich man because he's organising a huge party, a banquet. I went to a party like that once. Some of you might know, every year in Cambridge, the colleges here put on massive parties called May Balls. They're called May Balls. Actually, they happen in June, which goes to show that Cambridge students aren't quite as clever as they'd have us believe. And usually you've got to pay quite a lot of money to go to one of these, but I managed to get in for free because I was part of the entertainment. And the you haven't even heard what it is yet. The ball had hired this tiny little French guy, literally about that tall, who was also a martial arts expert, and he was going to be doing a martial arts demonstration. And they wanted someone big for him to beat up, so they picked me. And for literally about two half-hour sessions, I had to come in and pretend to punch him. He'd do some fancy karate move, and then I'd be flying through the air and land on the floor in a heap. And the floor was made of concrete, so it was one of the most painful experiences of my life. But after this, I was allowed to limp around the rest of the ball for free. And it was absolutely incredible. There were tables laid out with the most beautiful food, just plates and plates of it. And it just kept coming all night. And there was good cheese. There was mounds of exotic fruit absolutely everywhere. And people were dressed up. They looked gorgeous. It was a real banquet. That was the only word you could use to describe it. Sadly, as I've been kicked quite hard in the stomach while I was lying on the floor by this French guy, I wasn't really in the mood for eating. So after about half an hour, I went home feeling thoroughly miserable. But it didn't stop it being the most amazing party I had seen in my entire life. And that's the sort of thing we're supposed to imagine as we're reading this passage. It's an enormous party. This guy's been planning it for ages. It's the sort of night you never forget. And in Jesus' time, you invited people in a special way. Before the party, a little while before, you'd send invitations to everyone who wanted to come. And they'd reply, yes, I can come, no, I can't. And then you'd make a list of all the people who'd said yes. And on the day of the party itself, you'd send out a chosen servant to all those people to say, come along, the party's ready, come in. And that's what's happening. If you look at verse 17, it's the day of the banquet, and everyone's rushing around, putting the finishing touches on everything. It's absolute chaos in the house. But in the middle of all that, the master calls his servant to him. And he sends him out to all the people to tell them, come, everything's now ready, come and enjoy this banquet with me. So he goes to the house of the first guy on the list. Remember, all these people have already agreed to come. And he knocks on the door and the door opens. Come, says the servant, everything's now ready. And everyone starts to make excuses. Have a look at verse 18. Sorry, says the first guy. I can't come. You can't come, says the servant. Your name's on the list. You said you were coming. Well, I know I said I was coming, says the man, but I've just bought a field, and now I'm going to go and look at it. Please excuse me. When you think about it, that's a rubbish excuse, isn't it? Absolutely terrible. Just like today, land was very, very expensive back then. So if you're buying a field, you'd want to look at it before you bought it. You'd want to check it out, make sure the soil's good, make sure it's in a good location. Be like if someone came up to you and said, guess what? Just bought a new house. Wonderful, you say. What's it like? I've got no idea. I've never seen it. Okay. What's the location like? Britain? You know, it's a terrible excuse. No one behaves like that. And even if this guy has just bought this field, it's still going to be there when he gets back. The party's not going to last that long. There's no reason why buying this field should stop him from coming to the party. Basically, he just can't be bothered, can he? He said ages ago that he'd come, and now the day's come round and he's decided, actually, not worth it. So, pretty disappointed, the servant goes to the next house. And again, he knocks on the door. Again, the door opens. Come, he says. For everything is now ready. And again, they make excuses. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, he says, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. You used to use oxen for ploughing your fields. And again, they were very expensive. And if you're buying something expensive, you should try it out before you buy it. And there you go, Robin's business tip for the day. It's another lame excuse. He said he'd come, but he can't be bothered. So he goes on to the third house. Come, he says. Everything is now ready. But have a look at verse 20. I just got married, so I can't come. Well, it's a better excuse than the first two, but it's still not great, is it? There's an obvious answer. You got married? Excellent. Bring your wife along. Bring your husband along. They can come too. But no, we get three people. We get three excuses. They said they were going to come, and then they decided, actually, nah, can't be bothered. And it shows that they've got no respect at all for the man throwing the party. They've got no love for him. And they don't care about him or his feelings or the amount of time he's put into preparing this thing. I was invited to a friend's wedding last year. I've got the invitation there. Two very dear friends called Claire and Sandy. And I agreed to come. And tell you what, nothing would have stopped me from being at that wedding unless I was possibly dead or in prison or possibly even both. I care about them so much. I love them a huge amount. And therefore, I wanted to be there and celebrate with them. But these three in this story, they just don't care about the man at all. They've got no love for him. And that's why they're so happy to just say, Ashley, you can take your party. I'm going to look at a field. Let's stop and think now what that first bit of the story means for us. Because remember, it's a story about God. It's a story about that heavenly banquet that he's preparing. And this is really important. It tells us what sort of person is on the guest list. What sort of person gets to go in. Almost all religions agree it's hard for people to get into heaven. And in other parts of the Bible, we see Jesus agrees with them. In fact, he says it's impossible for a human on their own to get into God's heaven. And the reason's sort of logical, isn't it? God is completely good. He's completely loving and completely pure. 100% morally perfect. And we're not, really, are we? In our own way, we all fall short of God's standards. It would be just wrong for people with our sort of problems to be able to come into the presence of a perfect God. If you imagine one of those operating theatres you get in a hospital, they're totally clean, aren't they? You're not even allowed a speck of dirt in them. Imagine going down to the fields outside Addenbrookes, rolling around in the dirt, smearing some on your face, and then trying to get into one of those places. They'd never let you in, would they? And God is a bit like one of those, completely clean, completely pure in every way. We're never going to be able to get into his presence and get into his party with all of our moral problems. Even if we try as hard as we like to be a nicer person, do good things, do, go to church, pray more, read your Bible more, that's never going to be enough to get us into his heaven. But as the old NatWest advert used to say, there is another way. And it's a way that God has provided. It's like the party in the story. Do you remember? The man provided everything. The guests didn't have to bring a single thing. It had been done for them. And when everything was prepared, the man sent his messenger to say to the people, come in. I've finished it. The party's ready. Come and enjoy it with me. And God treats us in just the same way. At just the right time, he sends his servant, Jesus, and he sends him with a message that says, come in. The party's ready. It's been done for you. And as well as bringing the message, it's Jesus who finishes off the preparations that brings people back to God. Just over a week ago, we celebrated Good Friday. And that's the day when we remember Jesus and especially remember his death on the cross when he was nailed with his hands and his feet onto a piece of wood in the shape of a cross and left there to die. And it sounds like a horrible mistake, doesn't it? But the Bible says no. The Bible says this was God's plan all along. Because when Jesus was dying, it's like all that sort of moral filth that sticks to us is taken off us and is put onto him. All of that stuff that stops us getting into God's party is taken off us and is put onto him. And as he died, he shouted out, it's finished. It's like he's saying, it's done. The way's clear. I've dealt with all your problems. The party's ready. The preparations are finished. Now you can come in. It's done. It's finished. So if you're here today and you think you've got to be a better person or clean yourself up a bit before God's going to accept you, then I've got some very good news for you. You don't need to do anything. It's been done already. You just come. That's how you become a Christian. You say yes to that invitation that God sent through Jesus. You say yes, please let me into that banquet, that heaven. Not because of what I can do, but because of what Jesus has done. That's what being a Christian is. But this story also has a warning. We can ignore that invitation. There's loads of ways we can do it. Maybe we're like the people in the story. We're too busy with our property or our money. Or like the second guy with his work. Or maybe like the third person with their relationship. And we end up missing out on what God has for us. Or maybe it's that we don't value, you know, we hear something of Christianity. Maybe we've gone to Sunday school when we're a child or our kids have gone on the holiday club. But we don't realise the infinite value of what God offers. We don't value that invitation the way we should. And the result is we miss out We don't RSVP to the invitation. We miss out. In the second half of the story, we see how God responds. If you look down, we'll get back into the passage again, at verse 21. It says, "Then the servant came back and reported this to his master." He reported to his master that no one was willing to come in. "And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.'" In those days, there weren't any benefits or anything like that. So people who were blind or lame had no options and no opportunities. That's why they're out in the streets and the alleys. They're not inside because nobody wants them. And you definitely wouldn't find them at a posh dinner party like this one. No one cared about them. But this master does want them. He's prepared this banquet and he says he's willing to enjoy it, and he wants to enjoy it with anyone who wants to come in. So the servant brings in all these people that no one else wants, but there's still space. And so the master sends him out again. Have a look at verse 23. "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." Now, these people are so unpopular, they can't even live in the city. They're stuck out in the country roads. But if they're willing to come to the banquet, the master wants to have them. And when God invites people to his party, he invites everyone. He doesn't have favourites. And anyone who responds to that invitation gets a seat at the banquet. That's what this story shows us. It's so simple, isn't it? But it's incredibly important. Everybody is invited. But if you reject the invitation made through Jesus Christ, I'm afraid to say you won't get in. As we close, let's just think how that applies specifically to two different groups of people. Does anyone feel like they're in verse 21? Do you remember those guys? They were sitting outside. They're out in the country roads. They're outside the city and nobody wants them. No, sorry, not verse 21, verse 23. Maybe you feel other people don't want you, or maybe you feel society doesn't want you. Or maybe, I think a lot of people feel this way, you feel you've sinned too much and that God wouldn't want you. Look at verse 23. The master tells the servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in." Now, that doesn't mean we can force people to become Christians, of course not. But it does mean that some people will take a lot of persuading that they're really invited to this party. Be like me getting a phone call from Queen Elizabeth. I've never met Queen Elizabeth. There's no reason why she'd want to hang out with someone like me. But if I got a phone call from her, "Hello, Robin. Liz here. Having a party on Saturday night. Love it if you came." I'd take a lot of convincing that that was real. Especially if the voice was that dodgy. And some people are going to take a lot of convincing that this is for real, that they really are invited to God's banquet. I was speaking to a guy a week and a half ago, and he said this: "I know God forgives people, but with what I've done, I just don't think he's going to forgive me, that's all. But this story says he will. When Jesus died on the cross, that was big enough to pay for whatever that guy had done, whatever I've done, whatever you've done, if you respond to God's invitation." It says, if you respond to that invitation, then the way is clear. The cross paid the price, and the way is clear to come into this banquet. The question for you is, will you? The second group of people are maybe wondering what all the fuss is about. Maybe you think, actually, do I really need to bother with this invitation? You get a lot of invitations to a lot of things these days. Maybe this is just another one that you should file neatly in the bin. I'm a pretty nice sort of person. I'm not perfect, but I get by. And God's surely going to let me into his heaven, isn't he? I was chatting with a lady on Thursday afternoon, And we got round to talking about this, and she said this. I've lived a good life. I deserve to be in heaven. Of course God has to let me in. And I think a lot of people think that way, don't they? They think, surely, with what I've done, God should let me into heaven. Is it really so important that I trust in Jesus? And this story says yes. Yes, it is. In fact, nothing could be more important. Because if we want to come to God's party, we've got to come in God's way. And that means that the nice, respectable old lady I met on Thursday needs to come in exactly the same way as the drug dealer I was talking to 2 weeks ago. You come by saying yes to the invitation. You come by trusting in Jesus. Don't trust in what good things you can do. Trust in what God has done. Remember, this invitation is free for you, but it cost God an incredible price. It cost him the life of his son, Jesus. And that means that if you ignore that invitation, or if you treat it as not having the value it does, then the consequence is very serious indeed. Have a look at the end of the story. The last words in verse 24. Not one of the people who were invited will get a taste of the banquet. It cost God so much to bridge that gap between him and us. And now he invites us to join him. But if we reject that invitation, or if we don't respect it, then verse 24 will be true for us. God will eventually say, with great pain, okay, you won't get a taste of my banquet. I'll give you what you asked for. You wanted to reject me, I'll give you what you wanted. You'll be cut off from me forever. And because God is the source of life and love and every good thing, being cut off from him is a terrible thing. Please don't let it happen to you. Please respond to this invitation. Because today God is offering that invitation to everybody here. It's a very serious thing, but it's also a very wonderful thing. If you're at all unsure about it, please give it the time it deserves. If there's even a 1 in a million chance that all this stuff is true, then it's got to be worth a few hours of your time looking into it. Come and talk to me at the back, or we've got loads of free copies of Luke's Gospel on the table just as you go out. Please take one, give it a read. Who do you think Jesus is? Work that one through for yourself. Or best of all, come along on that Christianity Explored course that Catherine mentioned, starting on the 4th of May, 7:45 here in the church. If you can't make that, we would love to give you another opportunity to do it. If you can't do Tuesday nights, come and talk to us. Whenever it is, wherever you're free, we'll try to find a way that you can look into this stuff for yourself. Even if you can only meet at 3 o'clock in the morning on the top of a skyscraper, we'll make that happen, we will. Because it is so important to get to grips with this invitation and to respond in the right way. Take the time to look into it that it deserves. But please also remember the urgency. It is an urgent message. Do you remember verse 21? The master said, go out quickly. Go out quickly and round the people up and bring them in. We don't know when God's party is going to start. It's not the sort of thing you can turn up fashionably late for. Please take this seriously. Please take this urgently. However you respond, the banquet is going to happen. The question for you is, are you going to be there? The offer for you is you can be there if you accept the invitation. It's so easy. You humble yourself and you accept Jesus' free offer. If you treat this invitation as unimportant, I'm afraid to say you won't get in on your own. But if you recognize the wonderful thing that Jesus has done, and if you're willing to accept the invitation, you will find this banquet has been prepared already. There's nothing for you to do. You just come and you enjoy. You enjoy God's incredible love. And you enjoy his incredible generosity. And you join the crowds of people celebrating and enjoying what God has done and worshipping him forever. Because Jesus says, come. Don't do anything, just come. Everything is now ready. I'm going to have a little time of quiet now just to think how we're going to respond to God. And then I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you that you have done everything we need to come to know you. All there is for us is to respond. Please help us to respond to you in the right way. Please help us to know what steps to take to do that. And Lord, we thank you again for your wonderful provision, and that you say to us, come, everything is now ready. Amen.